Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, however you're listening to us, we thank you. We appreciate you. Today is Monday, February 23rd, just a little after 6 p.m. Eastern time. We are, I guess, about four or five days removed from the trade deadline, which was bananas to say the least. Chuck, we're just all NBA today. We also have some talk about, what teams look good in positioning themselves for the second half of the season. So I guess we'll start off with one of the trades that went down on, what was it, Thursday was the deadline? So
last Thursday.
Right, one of the trades that went down on Thursday, which was a very late trade in the deadline that came like out of nowhere. But Brandon Knight from Milwaukee was traded a playoff position Milwaukee Bucks team. He was traded to Phoenix. Somehow Philadelphia got involved and sent Michael Carter Williams to Milwaukee, as he now plays under Jason Kidd. Brandon Knight is now the what seems to be the two guard, which some say he's more of a natural two guard. He can now play that in Phoenix. Chuck, what'd you think of that one before I get to the rest of these trades?
Well, I didn't really understand that trade in particular. Let me rephrase that. I didn't understand the trade as far as it involved Brandon Knight. I thought that Phoenix sort of mortgaged their playoff hopes. And I don't know why. You know, normally when a team, I know we're going to talk about more trades, but talk about the Sixers, for example. A lot of us, even though we may not understand why they're doing what they're doing, I guess the end result to us is that they're mortgaging the now for a greater future, maybe 2 to 3 years. For Phoenix, their window is now. Last year they came, I think, what, a game or two from making the eighth seed. So with basically that same team intact, you would think that they would add a piece instead of losing a greater piece. And, I mean, I understand that Dragic no longer wanted to be there, but I feel as though that was sort of, I feel like that was sort of a rushed move that if they, if they got a week, maybe if they would have known a week earlier that Dragic wanted to leave, they would have made a better deal for him.
Yeah, it did seem like a bit of a rush move, but apparently, his representatives let them know fairly late, I guess 48 hours before the deadline. But Phoenix just, they have certain things that, they were playing this three-guard system, which just wasn't working very well, especially when you have, three guards that are not, of elite status, although some may argue Gordon Dragic is an elite point guard, but we'll get to him in a second. But Phoenix just let go of players and seem to just move on with the season, which was interesting to me. We also had another trade, Chuck. Aaron Aflalo went to the Portland Trail Blazers. Not much was given back to Denver. I think, first-round pick, but as far as other players, yeah. Also, JaVale McGee goes to Philadelphia, which before we get to, the true nitty-gritty of the trade, what do you really think? I saw you just say Philadelphia, I guess they've stretched their rebuilding process to 2 to 3 more years. I've heard that they've had, Carter Williams sort of on the block for a while now if the right offer came. And when you see something like this, I mean, what do you just think as if you were a fan of theirs or just overall just about the organization and what they're doing, Sam Hinkie as the general manager there?
I'm going to say I have to preface this comment because if you were to ask me, like, maybe 48 hours ago, I would have told you they truly don't know what they're doing. They're just blowing this team up because they don't know what they're doing. And my next thing would say their next goal is to get a Moutier, a Okafor, a D'Angelo Russell. But I saw something the other day, and it was on Twitter. It was from a beat writer who writes for the Sixers. And basically he said was, people are saying that the team is mortgaging their future because they traded Michael Carter-Williams, but what people don't realize is that Michael Carter-Williams isn't going to pan out. Now, I personally don't agree with that assessment, but I could see how a person how a team or fans of a rookie of the year and a down rookie draft class who at this moment really can't shoot the ball, and you don't really know what else can come out of him. He turns the ball over a lot as well. You don't know how much of an upside he has. You need to cash in while the iron's hot. Now, do I think they cashed in and got a good enough deal for Michael Carter-Williams? I don't really know. I mean, when you trade a lot of draft picks, there's no immediate winner or loser because who knows what those draft picks can turn out to be. They could turn out to be Michael Jordan, or they could turn out to be Sam Bowie. So it's really hard to evaluate on the surface as, like, right this very moment what is going on in Philadelphia. But I think there's something to be said about a team that has 33, if I remember from saying correctly, 33 assets over the next 3 to 4 years. So I think Hinkie is in the perfect position to carry out his masterful plan. And I think starting on Thursday, he has no more excuses because I don't know how many times fans of Philadelphia are going to hear that we're rebuilding again.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just don't agree with what they're doing there. I mean, you can argue that Carter-Williams is, you know, he turns the ball over too much, and, you know, you may have seen the best of him, which is, I just feel it's a bit premature to pull that trigger. I think what Philadelphia is looking for is the iconic player of, you know, the LeBron James or the Patrick Ewings of the world or the Kevin Durant, you know, these game-changing guys who you feel are going to be, you know, really successful. I just feel like that's what they're searching for, and Carter Williams isn't that. He's a good player, but he isn't that. And I just, as a fan, I would just be very disappointed. Like, I don't know what to look for. You know, you have two big men, one which may be traded soon. You never know with these guys. You have one who's redshirting. It's just, you know, you have no direction. And when you have no direction, the fans don't have much to be happy about. So, yeah, just more losing for Philadelphia seems to be in play. But as we move on, Chuck, yeah, like I said, Aaron Aflalo traded to the Portland Trail Blazers. Helps with their bench depth, which they needed help in. That's one of the things they lacked. Denver gets a first-round pick. Denver's not really good this year anyway. They're trying to move on. I mean, what do you think about Aflalo to the Trail Blazers now? Second time he's been traded within the last year, but I mean, what do you think about him being traded to the Portland?
Well, I think Aflalo is one of those guys who every team that thinks they're at that contender could go to the next step once. He's a guy who can come out, he can get his own, he can create his own shot. He's, I wouldn't say he's automatic buckets, but he does score at a rate that you don't have to worry about him, about the 14 to 16 per game per score. So I think it's good for them, but I think in the West, at least to me in the West, a lot of things happened, and I just think it made things more murkier than it did clearer. And I don't see, like, there was no impact player. The impact player that got traded doesn't play in the West no more. And that's why I think, if anything, Phoenix Mortgage, like I said to start the show, Phoenix Mortgage their chances other than any other team sort of taking a step forward to get to where they think they need to be.
Right. As we move on from there, me personally, I like the Aflalo trade. I like them getting him for their bench depth. That's what they lacked as a team, I felt. Now you have like sort of a three guard, 2-3. You know, they can kind of check the 2-3, which is in Batum, Matthews, and Aflalo. Like you said, Aflalo can get you about 15 points. When he's in a winning environment, I think he's probably less of a player, but still a very good player, especially off the bench, because usually people use him as a starter. So I think that helps them. But I don't know if that takes them to, you know, beat the Spurs in a series, which I just don't see happening for the Trailblazers. So as we move on, though, like you said, when we're talking about Phoenix, they sent their expiring point guard Goran Dragic to Miami Heat, along with his brother Zoran Dragic. So that's random in there. Miami sent Danny Granger, 2 first-round picks to Phoenix. I don't know if Granger's going to play there or not. I don't know if he's been playing. But they also traded Norris Cole to New Orleans. Chuck, I mean, what did you think of this one? We'll get into what Miami's dealing with right now. But as far as when this trade went down, how did you look at it from the point guard perspective and Miami trying to, you know, reach that 8th or 7th seed?
Oh, I mean, on Thursday at about 3 o'clock, this was the home run trade. This was the trade that was supposed to not tip the balance, but was supposed to make the East a real race. It was going to be 5 to 6 teams legitimately all with a chance. Now, how you rank those teams, I think that was all – it's all a crapshoot. But for the most part, it was 6 teams that were all – you know, gonna have a throwing fight to the end, and I think it addressed all their necessary issues, because when you look at Miami, forget the first half of this season. Go back to the last 4 years. The biggest position, well, their two biggest issues, problem areas, were at the point guard and at the center position. They were able to find Hassan Whiteside out of God knows where, so that was an answer to the center question, but now they still didn't have no point guard. And even though Norris Cole and Mario Thomas are champions in their own respective rights, they had LeBron James playing with them. No more LeBron James, and there's just something different that needs to be done. And I don't think those two personally were going to be able to handle that and take the Heat as far as I think they could. They're currently the 8th seed, so I don't think I don't think a playoff berth was really what they were focused on. I think they were legitimately trying to make a run in a wide open Eastern Conference, and now
I thought the addition helped them tremendously. I felt like Pat Riley kind of stole one here. I mean, obviously, you know, Goran had a certain amount of teams that he was, you know, really trying to work with. 2 are not in very good position at all, with the Lakers and the Knicks. So Riley just stepped in and made his team a better team. You know, he's a very good point guard. He told Phoenix that, you know, standing in the wing just wasn't his thing. Likes the ball in his hand. So D-Wade could do that less. Obviously still, an aging player, a productive aging player, though, I should say. And you got guys like Shabazz Napier, who I feel is still going to be a pretty good point guard in this league, but he's just not there yet in his first, two halves of season of one of his rookie year to really lead the way. So I thought it was a nice pickup for them. Unfortunately, some other news came out that Chris Bosh has developed a blood clot in his lungs, so he is now officially out for the year, which just hurts their shot to really upset a couple of teams in the playoffs, or at least I feel. How do you feel that affects them, though, Chuck? Bosh out for the year?
Yeah, I mean, Bosh, at this point, they were going from a big three to a mini big three, and Bosh was going to have to be role was going to have to be so much greater, and he was going to be asked and just asked to do things that he hasn't really been asked to do before. So even in that case, it was going to be I don't want to say a mystery, but sort of like a prove it to believe it situation with Bosh. Now you take him out of the lineup, I just don't see where they get that extra offense from, because Dragic was supposed to be able to put together all of the offense. Now they're just missing the offense. So unless you're telling me Dragic is going to be 4 to 5 points better than what he was last year, I just don't see that happening. I just don't. So I think Pat Riley, when he made the trade Thursday afternoon, was feeling like a genius, and by midday Friday was feeling I don't know if it was opposite of genius, but I definitely think reality hit him and he's back to the drawing board, and then maybe for next year at this point.
Right. We thought it was a good trade, helped them could possibly knock off a couple of teams in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. But, this Bosh thing hurts them. He's out for the year. I mean, obviously the bigger picture is his health as a whole rather than him playing basketball. But as far as basketball on the court, it hurts them. I mean, I think they can still possibly make the playoffs, but, they're not going to get anywhere. And now I think it's just about, hopefully Chris Bosh is healthy enough to play, continue his career next year. And, I think it's about right now showing, this guy's Grogic. I'm sorry, I always pronounce his name. Grogic, that you're dedicated, to winning a championship. You have championship DNA, and just keep building around it. I mean, right now I feel like they have a really good starting five. If they are able to re-sign Grogic in the free agency period, and Bosh is healthy next year, Whiteside still just going to continue to get better. So that's a pretty good starting five. McRoberts will be back next year. You add more guys, more veteran players, and I think they'll have a shot maybe next year, but certainly this year it's a little cloudy now. But as Phoenix got away all of their point guards, they seem like they had a little buyer's remorse on point guard Isaiah Thomas. They traded him to Boston, Chuck. They just signed him in the offseason. I believe it was a 3 or 4 year deal. Phoenix gets Marcus Thornton back, shooting guard, and a first round pick from the Cavs. I mean, what did you think of this trade, Chuck, overall?
See, the thing about the Phoenix trade I really couldn't understand was that what changed? I mean, you lost a guard, but if anything, my personal opinion, you paid the wrong guard. If they would have paid Dragic, then they wouldn't have had to worry. They could have let Bledsoe and Thomas go, and then you could actually put the pieces around him, because the thing is that they had too many guards and too many wingmen. They didn't have enough size. They didn't address that.
Right.
So I'm confused. Like, unless you're saying that they wanted a bigger backcourt, because who's the tallest out of Dragic, Bledsoe, and Thomas? Maybe Dragic at like 6'3", 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're telling me that was their motivation, was to was for the backcourt to get bigger than maybe, but I mean, if anything, Phoenix is the biggest loser from the whole, from the trade deadline as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I really don't know exactly what they were trying to do here, but like you said, they had a three-guard system. You got guys like Dragic playing the three. It's not a good look for a point guard who likes the ball in his hand. So I felt that this is what they wanted. They tried it out. It didn't work. So they just had to get some things off. But like you said, they're not big enough down low. And I don't see how Marcus Thornton helps them. But we'll just have to see how that works out. But as far as Boston. It just seems like they're just continuing to do whatever. I don't know, form something. I don't know. They're just being Boston. They're just trying to get players in there and see who's good enough. They're definitely still on the rebuilding side of things. Quick trade. Andre Miller went from Washington to Sacramento. Team back up with head coach George Karl. Washington gets Raymond Sessions. Any comment on that, Chuck?
I mean, the Wizards are weird. I mean, I know this isn't about the trade, but at one point the Wizards were 19-6. Now they're like the fifth seed, and at one point Andre Miller was getting quality minutes and actually playing decent. I don't know if it's because he's old, and you know, older players, they just lose it through the stretch of a 82-game season, or is Whitman really the problem, and we need to evaluate some of his decisions, because there's no way Andre Miller goes from being, I don't want to say an intricate part, but definitely a guy who was valuable to the team to not even playing to being traded all in the span of, what, maybe 20 games?
Right.
So I think sort of maybe those are bigger questions that need to be asked in Washington, because a team that many of us thought was looking really good made no big trades at the deadline to acquire anybody, traded away a piece that at one point looked like it was going to help them, and are now facing injuries and youthfulness and a whole bunch of other things. So, yeah, I think that was just a really bad, just a bit of bad overall trade, or just a no trade as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Raymond Sessions ranks like last in certain point guard statistics, if not just right near the bottom of certain point guard statistics. Andre Miller, like you said, playoffs last year, he helped them out. He did his thing. I thought that would be the same this year. Maybe, I don't know, difference. I don't know. Like you said, Whitman is the coach there. He gives guys their minutes. He's saying, you know, in press conferences, he's looking for people to step up as far as bench play. Maybe he just wanted more, a younger guy who could possibly do more than just getting the paint. You know, Andre Miller is more of a one-shot pony as far as his ability to score. He's got to get in the paint or dish it. I mean, but Raymond Sessions doesn't shoot very well either, so I don't know what that trade was about. Kevin Garnett going back to Minnesota, Chuck, as he waives his no-trade clause, and Brooklyn gets back Thaddeus Young straight up. How you feel about this one?
It's weird to say this, but both teams came out, I feel like, on the good side of this trade. And for one main reason only, it addressed both teams' needs. Kevin Garnett, Thaddeus Young is a poor man's Kevin Garnett. But Kevin Garnett at 39, 38 is a poor man's Kevin Garnett. So if you can have somebody who's younger, more athletic, be able to do some of the things you thought KG was going to be able to do. Also, you lose that contract. Why? That sounds like a win-win for a team that's, I think, if they're not the eighth seed, they're like a game out or half a game out. And then as far as the Timberwolves go, Kevin Garnett is Minnesota basketball. And, you know, he's the most known, the most acclaimed, most accomplished as far as, you know, everything Timberwolves basketball goes. And with the type of team they currently have with a bunch of young, I think as far as Andrew Wiggins goes and maybe even Zach LaVine, potential budding superstars, you need a professional like a real, like a basketball professional like Kevin Garnett to say, look, guys, this is what needs to be done. No, this is how we should do it. You know, even though Kevin Garnett may not still have the skill, there's nothing that could be taken away about having the knowledge of this game. And, you know, even though this is a different NBA, Kevin Garnett, you know, he would know best. Him, Kobe Bryant of the world, they know the best because they span both of those eras. And now, you know, he's living proof that he can help some of these young players on Timberwolves max out at their potential. So I think that, if anything, that was one of the more subtle trades that I think both teams came out on the right side of.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. Brooklyn gets Thaddeus Young, obviously way cheaper contract than Kevin Garnett, who Kevin Garnett has made the most money on court than anyone in NBA history. I believe it's $325 million after this year. And we just want to say, keep getting them checks, KG.
Getting them checks, boy.
The Timberwolves, they get back, you know, their, like you said, most recognizable figure in Minnesota sports, I would think. I mean, maybe you got guys like Adrian Peterson or Randy Moss, Chris Carter. But, I mean, Kevin Garnett, you know, franchise player. He didn't really want to leave Minnesota. It was tough for him. He did it at the last minute for championship aspirations. You know, obviously there's still some love there. Like you say, he helps out the young guys like Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, Rubio. He brings some sort of toughness for the second half of the year. Brooklyn gets off of that contract. They're paying less now. You know, Minnesota only picks up the contract for a half a year. It's not that big of a deal. They got a lot of young players on young contracts. So I totally agree. It's a good trade straight up. And KG, I believe he looks to get involved into the Minnesota Timberwolves ownership next year. So, yeah, I think it's just overall good trade, nice story. So I'm happy for both parties. I feel like I'm missing one here, Chuck. Oh, we had Detroit send Reggie Jackson. Well, not send. Well, we had Detroit get Reggie Jackson from Oklahoma City. And may I send kudos to Oklahoma City. They have made, pretty good trades, I feel like, and not having to give up much. Same thing with Cleveland, who we'll get to in 1 second, but Reggie Jackson, he goes to Detroit. I believe it was last night. Throwing up on the sideline in his first game, sweating bricks. Guy looked pretty nervous, whatever. Scored 17, though, I believe. Oklahoma City guy, center Enes Kanter, who had a double-double just yesterday. Looks like it could be a pretty good fit. You know, Westbrook attacking, dishing it off. For Steve Novak, who we've seen with New York, and has a knockdown three-point jump shooter shot. DJ Augustine, backup point guard. And also Kyle Singer, forward from Detroit, knockdown guard, which they need shooters around Oklahoma City, so that's what they went out and got. Also Utah got Kendrick Perkins, Grant Jarrett, a second-round pick from the Pistons, first-round pick from the Thunder. They bought out Kendrick Perkins, though, and he's now signed with the Cavs. But, Chuck, what do you think of that trade overall? Reggie Jackson going to Detroit, Oklahoma City, picking up quality bench players.
I mean, I think I have to disagree a little bit. I agree with you from one aspect. The Thunder have given up virtually nothing that you would consider valuable. But I just don't see what changes. Like, I feel like they're trying to make up for losing James Harden. Like, every decision they have made since then has been a way to make up for losing James Harden. And it's just like, that's not going to happen. Me, personally, what I think the Thunder need to get over the hump doesn't involve players. It involves ideology. It evolves Scott Brooks knowing that, yo, sometimes I got to call plays for my star players. Sometimes ISO ball just doesn't work. And sometimes other things happen, you know, like there has to be the system that works at hand. Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, two of the top five best players in the league at this moment. Russell Westbrook is having an MVP season, but none of that matters if, when it comes down to it, they don't have, you know, I don't want to say the proper coaching, because I don't know whether Scott Brooks is that good of a coach or not, but it seems as though a lot of times they just don't have this other thing that you feel like all other great teams and great players have alongside with them. And I'm just confused. I think Cantor, he's good offensively, but you gave him something defensively. As where the same way where Perkins was good defensively but wasn't good offensively. So, you know, I feel as though, like, they've done a lot of masking of the issues, but they haven't really directly addressed them. And because of that, I'm still very confused as to what's going to happen in OKC.
Yeah. I think we'll agree to disagree there. As far as we want to stay on OKC is, before we get out of here, quick takes, Chuck. Are these lingering foot injuries for Kevin Durant, are they going to hurt the Thunder in the long run?
I mean, I don't think Kevin Durant stays in OKC past next season. I don't know if he does so or goes to the Wizards, but I think their window is closed. Like, if they don't win this year or next year, where's their window at? Like, I just don't see it.
Right. I think he's going to have foot pain this year. It's inevitable. Even after he has this little procedure now, he's still going to have foot pain. He plays basketball for a living. So I believe after next year, though, he'll be back to himself. And, yeah, like you said, if they don't win in the next 2 years, I don't know if he's going to be in OKC or not. Cavs, like I said, got Perkins, have added depth in Mozgov, Shumpert, J.R. Smith. LeBron has really come on, also MVP candidate. Chuck, Cavs going to be representing the East in the finals?
Like I said, I feel like I've said, as long as LeBron James is on that team, I don't understand how you don't pick them as your favorites, at least to get there. But I don't care about Perkins. I'm more concerned about the fact that J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert have found the whatever they found in Cleveland that wasn't in New York, and they're playing great. So, yeah, right now, if you made me a betting man, I'd have them as my front runner to represent the East.
Yeah, and J.R. Smith, nice dunk yesterday. Way to show the guys, you know. But I guess, randomly, Chuck, we had a caller who's been waiting on hold. I just saw them. We'll try to get them in here really quick. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry for having you on hold for so long. We had to rush through. But question for us, please, let us have it.
Who gave up their hoop dreams first, you or Charles?
Who gave up their what first?
Who gave up their hoop dreams first?
I think it was me. You know, after eighth grade, I went to ninth grade, and I just realized, you know, the guys are pretty taller than me. I mean, obviously, I could still make plays. You know, I could hit a jump shot or two, but then I got my first ninth grade report card, and it wasn't happening at all. What about you, Chuck?
11th grade year, I decided that there's better things to do in my life than keep playing basketball. Like, talk about it. So here we are now. Hey.
Nice question. All right. As we'll keep the caller on as we get out of here. Thanks for listening to Sports Opinions with Chuck and P. I am P. He is Chuck. Foley is the caller. And we are out of here. Thank you.